Good evening, church. Good evening. Amen. Good. You're still awake. That's a good sign after a long, hot, stormy day, kind of like today. That's a good sign. It sure is good to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for the song sang tonight, and asked Brother Nathan to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and I kind of want to teach along those lines tonight. I was just thinking about that a whole lot. It's not who we are. And it's not what we know, it's who we know. I mean, it truly is. There's nothing else that we can claim about ourselves or anything like that. But I tell you, I've just been thinking a whole lot about the closeness, kind of what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and got to discuss that a little bit more with a friend this week, and it just gets sweeter every time, thinking about what it means to have a friend in Jesus. And that's exactly the title tonight, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. How many of you know the backstory to that song? You know, Brother Dale, you probably heard it, maybe don't remember, maybe. I know a lot of times that's kind of how some of these are, Brother Nathan, you know, different ones. But I do like to look at some of those and kind of get the backstory behind it. And it's from a young man, a Scottish man. He wrote it. It was actually a poem is how it started out, and it was actually kind of anonymous for some time, and I'm probably paraphrasing this a good deal, but it'd take a little while to really go into it if you go to the whole story. But it's about this fella, and he was getting ready to get married, a young man, young woman. They were getting ready to get married, and I think it was like the day before their wedding. They were out riding horses, or maybe she was out, the young girl was riding horses by herself, and was riding, and the horse bucked her off, and she fell into the water, and it killed her. She drowned, and the boyfriend, he got there just a little too late. They were pulling her out, and he wasn't able to save her. And so you know how hard that was for him. He was looking forward to his wedding day, and this happened just prior to that. That's devastating. That's devastating. And you know, interesting thing about him, he had the heart of a servant. They actually called him a good Samaritan is kind of how they coined him, because he would go around different places in the community and tried to be good to people and help people. So instead of being his sorrow turning him into being bitter, he wanted to try to help people and make them feel better. Good story to that. And time went on, and he met another young girl, and I think about this time, I'm not sure how old he was, but she's about 23. Met a young girl, fell in love again. He had actually lived in Scotland, moved from there to Canada. So he's living in Canada at this time and doing these nice things for people and getting ready to get married. And his new fiance fell sick. And she passed away before they could get married. And you think about that. You think about the devastation that you have back to back. Once is devastating enough. But for that to happen again. And, you know, his outcome wasn't, let's just fold everything up and give it up. His outcome was, what a friend in Jesus that we have, that we can take all of our burdens to, share all of these things with, and have somebody to talk to. And I tell you, I am so thankful for my family and my friends. I wouldn't take anything for my family and my friends, my church family. I wouldn't take anything for any of you, and I mean that with all my heart. But I tell you, there's something different when you take things to the Lord, and when the Holy Spirit steps in, he's got a powerful way of doing things. When our hearts are broken beyond how you could express to somebody else, and somebody else can only maybe sit beside of you and just say, I don't know what you're going through, I'm sorry, and that's all they can say. There's a certain way the Holy Spirit has a way of wrapping his arms of grace around you and letting you feel his love, and there's some peace that can be found there. I really want to focus on that tonight, and thinking about friendship again and just what a friend we have. And we'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and say a word of prayer. We have a business meeting tonight, so I don't want to belabor anything and go too long. So we'll get started tonight with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our lesson in our business meeting. So, Father, we thank you for this night that you've given to us and just the ability to be here together. I'm thankful for all of those who were able to be present. And God, I'm just thankful for the friendship, God, that we can have with you. God, I thank you for the friendship that I have with you. Sometimes, Lord, when I don't understand things and facing things, questioning things, Lord, and really need to talk to somebody, God, and maybe things that don't need to be shared anywhere else, God, but I can take it to you and know that you can truly change hearts. You can work on hearts and minds, mine included, God, all of our hearts, that we can align with you and align with each other in unity. God, I just thank you so much for that. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here at the church. And I just ask you in these days to come, God, to keep a hedge around us, keep us safe, Lord, and help us, God. Help us make the decisions that we should make and take the paths, God, that you've chose for us to take. Lord, we need you every day more and more and more. We need you, Father. Go with us tonight, God, and I thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you will, let's turn to Psalm 139. I think that'll be a good place to kind of just be. I'm going to read a few verses in other places, but I think that's probably going to be the longer place that I would be at for you to kind of maybe have your finger there. Psalm 139. But I want us to think about the word close too. And talking about a friend, what it means. A friend, I probably read this before. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection. There's just some kind of special relationship there. You know, with acquaintances, there's sometimes it's just the chemistry ain't right or whatever it might be. You're neither maybe for or against a person. They're just an acquaintance. They're a person. They're somebody that you know. But when you have a friend, it's a little bit different because there's some common bond. There's something there that makes it a little bit special, a little bit deeper than just being an acquaintance. And I tell you, I want us to really focus on staying in that place with the Lord. If you ever get that fellowship and that sweetness, have you ever thought about just absolutely trying to stay in that, stay in that relationship? You know, we have sometimes with friendships, we have some that we might talk to maybe every day or quite often, and some maybe just every so often, but you can pick up right where you left off, those kind of things. But the relationship that God wants to have with us is a daily, all throughout the day relationship. It's not one to kind of just pick up here and there and catch up here and there. He really intends for us to have a relationship with him daily. Again, that daily walk, having a closer walk. And just being affectioned one together. You think about the lengths that Jesus went to for us to have that kind of relationship. He died on the cross so we could have that with him. He actually wants to spend eternity with every single one of us. And I tell you, that shows me how much he loves us, how much he cares about us, and what he means about it, about how much it means to him. It is way more than an acquaintanceship. God don't look at any one of you and say, I can take you or leave you. He says, I want you all. I want you. I want you. And to me, that's humbling that God in heaven would have that desire for somebody like me, not worthy of it. But I thank God that he has made that possible. And I was looking at the word close. I think that's important. Again, talking about closer walk a couple of weeks ago, but that means to unite or be firmly united. But I want us to know that I'm not talking about just proximity. Just being close in proximity. I think a lot of times what I've noticed, maybe with relationships and family, friends, relationship, we might be close in proximity, but maybe not close as we should be in spiritual terms or closer in that manner. And what I mean by that, you think about it. I was just trying to think about a good analogy. I didn't bring my phone up here. But, you know, a lot of times, if you think about it, if just stop throughout the week. And what you'll probably find is one is on one chair and one is on the other chair and probably kind of just maybe doing this, just kind of looking at your phone or something like that. I think that happens a lot. I see in the workplace, school place, home place. Better not happen in the church place. I'll just say it like that. But think about it. You see it. But you are in the same room together, but you're not communicating with each other. You're close in proximity, but you're not close spiritually or in fellowship. You see, I want us to understand and know the importance of being in church is absolutely important. Absolutely important. So what I'm getting ready to say is not negating that, it's supporting that. But just being here isn't enough. It's not enough. Just being in proximity of the church, proximity of the singing, just proximity of the pulpit or the altar, that's not what God wants to have. He wants you to have a relationship with him in his house. He don't want our minds. You say, well, I'm not on my phone in church. Yeah, but where's your mind at a lot of times? I remember times, I think back and I'm like, boy, if I knew then what it was like for the preacher, it changes my entire mindset. You know what you get to do as somebody in the congregation? You know what you get to do? You can put it in park if you want to. You can daydream if you want to. You can snooze if you want to. Don't do that either. You can do that. You think about it. Maybe the preacher's not really looking at me, but if we make eye contact, you know, sometimes it's kind of awkward. Could be. But I can't put it in cruise control. I can't snooze. Better not, right? I can't do that. I mean, you think about the importance of it. My mind races 100 miles an hour. Sometimes you get that look like, oh no, that landed wrong. Maybe it didn't even land. Maybe you wasn't even here. Maybe you were thumbing through your thoughts. But you see, there's a difference in being in fellowship, and there's a difference in just being close in proximity. Huge difference. So when you think about the relationship that we have with God, is it important to be here? Yes. But he wants us all here. He wants our minds here. He wants our hearts here. He wants us focused on what he has. Because you think about what it means when you come together to worship him, and really what it means. And thinking about this friendship, I was going to give you this verse here, Psalm 46:1. Thinking about God and the friendship that we have. Usually, for me, I'm the type of person that I need to talk things out. Mom, Dad would tell you that. Brandy would tell you that. Josh, Sarah would tell you that. It's kind of like that. Sometimes I need to talk things out. But now you think about when you really need to talk things out with the Lord and you want it to be right. Now, Psalms 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. See, I like the word present there. That's being in a certain place. God is with us. If you need him, he's there. Jesus is there. He is there for us. He wants to help us. He wants to take care of us. And he's very present. And I appreciate that. There's times I've like, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't have a clue how to handle this situation. I want it to be handled right. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But I want you to handle it right. Lord, could you touch hearts? You see, I can't ask anybody else to do that. You can listen to me, and you can possibly give me ideas of what might help. But you know, God has the ability to work on that other heart, that other mind. You think about really solving problems and having solutions. That's what God specializes in. That's how he is for us, if we're willing to give it to him and not take it upon ourselves. And I like what I see here also in Psalm 139. I want to read verses 7 through 12. Probably heard this before, but you see how it's written out here. The writer here, he's talking about asking these questions. How far away can you get from God? Is God really going to be here? Can God really reach me here? Is he going to come and be where I'm at, where I need him to be to pick me up? We're limited. It's a good place to understand how limited and fragile we are. We're not as tough sometimes as we think that we could be. But you look at verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? See, that's not talking about proximity physically, but thy spirit. It's talking about the spirit of God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Getting away. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. The Spirit of God, it's everywhere. I think it's hard for us to comprehend that. You and I can only occupy one space and one place, one space at a time. Now, our minds could be somewhere else and our bodies can be here, but we need to all be here, is what he's saying here. He's talking about being together again in one place, the importance of doing that. And he's asking the question. He's saying, if I'm here, how can I flee? If I'm in heaven, you're there. If I'm in hell, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere. You know, the Spirit of God, his Spirit, is the only omnipresent being. The devil doesn't have that same power, doesn't have that same authority. He has to travel. He has to travel here and there. The Holy Spirit's there. Up until the rapture takes place and that which withholdeth is called out. And you see the importance of how sad that time's going to be. Verse number 9 says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I like the even there. If we were to sit here and think, Lord, can you actually reach me here? Lord, can you actually help me here? The Bible says, even there. That is our answer. Even there. If you're willing to take it to him, if you're willing to reach it to him, even there. You know, sometimes it might be that our friends or folks that we'd want to talk to, we can't reach them, but the Bible says Jesus is even there. He is there for us. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light unto me. And in verse number 12, it says, light about me. In verse 12, it says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He's everywhere. I think sometimes we feel that he's not there, we're alone, that we can't reach him, but I want you to know he's there. If you're willing to cry out to him, he's there. The Bible has a lot to say about things like that. Now, I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 15. If you'd like to go there, you can. I was thinking about this because what this does is it places things back on, the responsibility back on who it belongs to. It belongs to us. The Lord's there. He's omnipresent. The fellowship is there if we want to have it. That friendship is there. This is very interesting here, Matthew 15, 1 through 9. It talks a little bit about some traditional things that they were doing, about how they were holding on to things. I have a note here. It says the interpretation and expansion of the law required this. The writing law did not. It's talking about taking care of people. And they were saying one thing and doing another. And that happens a whole lot. I know folks can really talk a good game, but the Lord knows our hearts. Verse number 1, it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They always went back to tradition and things like that, tried to say, your disciples aren't acting right, you aren't acting right, you're hanging out with the wrong people. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They're not doing these things. The outward man, what we see, being very critical, is a very critical nature. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. They were not taking care of their parents the way they were supposed to. Always trying to bring up what they thought they could to corner somebody else, but neglecting all the wrong that they were doing in their life. They thought that they could do some outward appearance things and hide what was going on the inside, but God, Jesus is always a step ahead. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. This have you made the commandment of God of none effect for your tradition. Ye hypocrites, strong words. Well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I think if we're not careful, we can be very guilty of that a whole lot. We can say things. You can talk to your brothers and sisters. I mean, very rarely would you come out and say probably something negative about the Lord. Now, you might have a bad day and be honest about that or what have you, but very rarely would you maybe come out and say something negative about the Lord. But on the inside, probably a lot of questions, doubt, confusion. But see, the thing about it is the Lord knows that. It's easy to talk about things. It's easy to say things and all those things, what have you. But what he's saying here again, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth. See, they're talking about it with their lips, the outward part. Do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. See, the Lord knows. He sees what's going on in our hearts. We're not going to fool him. We're not going to fool him. He knows the inside. And trying to have a relationship with him, it starts from the inside and it moves out. Again, there's a lot of difference in being close to somebody only in word or proximity and actually engaging in fellowship. I just want to read two other verses to you tonight. of Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with your whole heart." You know, when somebody says, "Preacher, I just don't feel as close to the Lord as I used to," I don't believe there's soul searching going on there. I think it might be maybe in a person's mind they're too busy. Maybe it's something they think about in passing. They want to have this feeling that they used to have. They want to have this fire that they used to have. Well, I can tell you, God is not the one withholding a person from having that relationship. It's not him. There's a wall. It's something that we have put up somewhere and we're not willing to take down. A wall of unforgiveness, a wall of bitterness, a wall of being critical. There is something there. But if you want to find the Lord, you can. But he's just saying, just search me with your whole heart. That means you have to be honest with yourself, lay out your heart before God, be honest with him. And he knows when you're ready to do that and when you're doing that. He knows if you've unlocked every part in there that says, you know what, it's open. Lord, it's open. I want to have that relationship. A common verse here I want to read, Proverbs 18:24. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." That's very straightforward. For some people that's easy, some people it's not. Some people are introverted, some people are extroverted. It's just kind of how that is. But that's the way the Bible teaches it to be. And goes on to say, "And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And he's right there. He's always there. I don't want anybody to think that the Lord isn't there. He's not there to take care of you. And I talk to people sometimes that they can't get closure on things. I think a lot of times maybe salvation is one of the biggest. Preacher, I'm doubting this. I'm having a hard time with this. And, you know, here's the thing I want you to know. Another person can't nail that down for you. That is strictly between you and the Lord. And I tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes and you invite him in, he's going to take care of it one of two ways. He'll either save you or convince you, confirming you that you've already been saved. That's the closeness. That's what the Spirit of God has. Another person can try to talk to you, lead you, and guide you. That's what Christian friends and pastors and folks are supposed to do. But now, when it comes time to do business with God, that's a one-on-one thing that a person has to do individually. It's not for somebody else to try to speak to or what have you. But I'm going to stop there tonight. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to this tonight? Yeah. Yes. Amen.